This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
In the last 6 months, strange developments in the Wadia Group have puzzled the corporate world. Jay Wadia, the family scion and heir apparent, has resigned from the boards of all its top companies, starting in March with the budget airline he had built, to most recently the conglomerate's flagship entity.
GoAir was the first company where we saw him exiting, which came as a total surprise because he was the co-founder of the airline. Then later on, he also stepped down from Bombay Dyeing. And around mid-August, he stepped down from Bombay Burma, which is primarily a holding company for the group, and Britannia, the flagship company now.
Four exits. Jay Wadia is practically out of his own $15 billion conglomerate. His first two pullouts from Go Airlines and Bombay Dyeing were announced by the Wadias as part of a larger plan to professionalize the companies while their promoters took a backseat. That was in March. In May, Go Airlines filed for an IPO.
Wadia Group owned GoAir, which is their aviation business, has filed a DRHP with market regulator SEBI. Now, as far as the IPO size itself is concerned, the company intends to raise about 3,600 crore through this particular offer.
Hidden in a small nook of the IPO filing, also called the draft red herring prospectus, was a stunning disclosure. It said, GoAir could potentially pursue legal proceedings against Wadia, the man who had built and steered the airline for 17 years. This was over a claim that the brand GoAir and all trademarks used by the airline effectively belonged to him. The airline was rebranded almost overnight from GoAir to GoFirst. But almost everyone in the know sensed that the issues ran much deeper.
For him to leave around the time when the IPO was being discussed was quite strange, that there was really something serious that is going on between the family members or the promoter family. But there was a clear indication when the prospectus was filed with SEBI, you know, wherein they said that the trademarks were transferred to a company which was closely held by Jay Wadia. GoAir decided that they could probably challenge this transfer of the trademark rights. So that was when people could sense that there was really some trouble brewing and some differences within the family.
That was my colleague Satish John, who's been tracking conglomerates for years. Industry watchers are now talking of seemingly irreconcilable differences between Jay and his father, the fiery Wadia Group patriarch, often called the original corporate warrior, Nasli Wadia. Insiders say that behind the altercations is the senior Wadia's penchant for tight control over every inch of his business empire. Meanwhile, Jay, it seems, is insistent upon a split in the family fortunes and wants to settle overseas. Sources in the company say that he has been in the UK since his exit in March. What's behind these differences? What could be the impact of this conflict on the Wadia Group businesses? And is one of India's oldest business empires faced with a succession crisis? In this episode of The Morning Brief, we try and trace some answers in the very interesting history of the Wadia Group and its men, full of boardroom battles and corporate clashes. We try to make sense of the current state of its companies and indulge in some crystal ball gazing about the future. This is September the 2nd, and I'm your host, Anirban Chaudhary. The Wadia conglomerate has its origins nearly three centuries before. It houses a 150-year-old plantation company, a 140-year-old textile seller, and a 129-year-old biscuit maker. The surname Wadia in Gujarati means a maker of ships, and that's the first business it started with in the 19th century before moving to textiles. Ships made by the Wadias were used by the British Royal Navy to fight Napoleonic wars. Fun fact, it was on board one such vessel, HMS Minden, that the American national anthem Star Spangled Banner was written. But business historians have said it's Nusli Wadia's maternal lineage that gave him the qualities of the fighter he was to become. You see, he happens to be the grandson of Muhammad Ali Jinnah, the founder of Pakistan.
We want the division of India into Hindustan and Pakistan because that is the only practical solution.
Young Nusli's first fight was with his own father. In 1971, fed up of high wealth taxes that the government was levying, Neville Wadia wanted to sell Bombay Dyeing to Calcutta businessman R.P. Goenka and settle in Europe. In a plan which is somewhat similar to what his grandson wants to do now, but well. Nusli, who had worked his way from a factory apprentice to joint managing director, would have none of it. It is said that he spoke to the staff and got them on his side, got an 11% stake in the company, and convinced his father that the business would stay.
It was during that time that an alternate father figure came to his aid, and that was J.R.D. Tata. And both of them managed to successfully persuade Neville Wadia to reconsider, and he gained control of the company. And Nusli at that time preferred to stay in India, and he claimed his inheritance. You know, basically, that is where Nusli Wadia came from.
Over the next few years, Nusli Wadia built Bombay Dyeing into somewhat of a symbol of class and a style statement.
Suitings from the Cesari collection. Bombay Dyeing.
Nusli built Bombay Dyeing. You know, he was one of the first guys to look at retail as an alternative for textile companies which were not into branding. He built the first retail stores in India. You know, so he was far ahead of his time.
Over the next decade, the expansion of Wadia's businesses was deeply intertwined with a string of corporate battles, from polyester prince Dhirubhai Ambani to biscuit baron Rajan Pillai. And then there was a final showdown with childhood friend and longtime associate Ratan Tata. He took on the government too several times and was once, by some accounts, at the receiving end of no less than 2,500 interrogatories, also CBI cases and deportation charges. In the 1980s, Dhirubhai Ambani came at Wadia with a business that had rapidly grown to 9 times his size and with government connections to match. It was a fight for the polyester market, and as bitter as they get. It entailed detective agencies, damaging media reports, furious lobbying, hiked import taxes, and overnight changes in government rules. Wadia eventually had to shut his raw material plant for the fabric.
It was during that time that, you know, many of these companies like Orkay Silk Mills and even Nirlon, they couldn't stand to the aggressive competition and they had to shut shop during those days. So it was around that time that he tried to defend his company. Wadia gave a good fight.
So they're right in this case. When he's got his back against the wall, the best comes out.
Well, it's not a question of the best. I mean, you have no choice. You know, either you curl up and sort of die or you get on and, you know, face it. You have to get on and face it. That's the only choice you have.
But while Reliance won, you know, Wadia managed to protect himself. He had his polyester business. And while the company did not exactly flourish, he managed to expand his business.
In 1993 came the big one. Wadia bought a stake in Britannia Industries from its previous owner, Rajan Pillai, in a staggering and bitter coup through a tie-up with Pillai's own French partner Danone. Later, Wadia also slapped various lawsuits on Danone, leading to its exit, leaving the company in its total control. In a later interview, Wadia said that when he took over Britannia, its revenue growth had been flat for 8 years. Now, it's the conglomerate's biggest money spinner. In 2016, Wadia supported Cyrus Mistry, Tata Sons' ousted chairman who was engaged in a bitter feud with Ratan Tata.
Radia has written to SEBI over the lapse of corporate governance in the Tata Group companies.
Radia was removed from the Tata Group boards. In retaliation, he filed defamation cases against Tata, which he later withdrew.
He took the opposing side. He fought cases in the court. Some of them he lost, or most of them he lost. But again, that was a long-standing friendship that ended bitterly. He was always known as the corporate samurai because of the fights that he took up. His wife, Maureen, used to call him the crisis junkie. He's someone who picks up a fight. He's fairly resolute. He believes that he's in the right, and he goes to the full extent, you know, to defend himself. And that is how this personality is.
Wadia groomed his sons Jay and Ness, giving them top management positions in several companies and often rotating roles. For instance, Jay was appointed as the joint managing director of Bombay Burma, while Ness was given a similar position in Bombay Dyeing. Then, they swapped positions. People who know the family say Jay inherited more of his father's traits than Ness did.
Jay Wadia had this independent streak, that same independent streak that his father possessed when he was young. So I remember when we once went to interview Jay Wadia, the interview stretched for some time, you know, and there was probably another meeting where his presence was needed. There was a office boy who came with a note, you know, and Wadia, while speaking, just glanced at that note and kept it away. Then after 5 minutes, Ness came to the door and told him that people are waiting for you. Dad is waiting for you. And he nodded his head and continued to speak. And later on, again, you know, after 5 minutes, the chairman, Nusri Wadia, and he said, "What is taking you so long?" It was more of a growl than anything else. And he left immediately. But he was in no mood to let us go. So he had that streak kind of a rebellious streak.
Jay diversified the family business into the aviation sector by launching Go Air. He was also active in Bombay Dyeing, which in the last 10 years has entered into the real estate market. But both companies have fared moderately. Go Air, which started operations in 2005, never expanded at the rate of its peers, Indigo or SpiceJet. In an industry of 6 to 7 airlines, its market share mostly remained around 10% or lower. As of July 2021, it fell to 6.8%. The airline has always seen frequent exits at the top level, often due to disagreements with the promoters. At least 5 CEOs left the airline in as many years from 2015. Critical positions have been left vacant for months. In FY20, Go plunged into its first loss in a decade of Rs 1,279 crore compared to a profit of Rs 123 crore the previous year.
Of course, COVID further exacerbated the situation for them. And in that sense, even the most profitable companies, you know, in the world, whether it was Delta in the US or even Indigo, were making losses during this period.
In the last year, the airline has grounded planes and laid off a chunk of its employees. It has tried unsuccessfully to raise debt and been left with the sole option of a public share issue to raise funds. Insiders say there have been frequent disagreements between father and son on the running of the airline, its purchase and maintenance contracts, and an anchor investor whose name was suggested and then turned down. Bombay Dyeing, which now also has a real estate business, posted its decade highest net loss in FY21. Its net worth, steadily depleting for 10 years, was also pushed into negative territory for the first time. Bombay Burma is into tea and coffee plantation and also the holding entity in most companies of the Wadia Group. In June, reports said it would exit the plantation business due to losses in competition. Then there is National Peroxide, the smallest company in size.
If you look at the way the company has performed, it has delivered poor sales. And if you look at the company, the return on equity and all that is 6.85%, which is very less in that sense. So for instance, in March 2021, it made a profit of 21 crore. So when you compare this with Britannia and all that, it is very small. The same goes with Bombay Dyeing. If you look at its peers, if you look at Aditya Birla Fashions or Trent, you know, with the West Side, or even Arvind Limited, this company has kind of underperformed its peers. So Bombay Dyeing, National Peroxide, these are companies where in the peers have kind of overtaken them by a distance.
In comparison, Britannia, which has always been run quite independently by a professional management team, has done exceedingly well. Its net profit has grown at a CAGR of 20% in the last 5 years. Its market capitalization of over Rs 96,000 crore is 87% of the combined market cap of all Wadia Group listed companies. Seen another way, it's more than 8 times that of the market cap of its other listed entities.
आपकी दुआओं से ही हम 100 साल के हुए हैं शुक्रिया 100 years of Britannia.
The Wadia Group's trajectory has reached a point where questions of succession are becoming critical. Nusli Wadia is in his 70s. While still very much in control, he may have to pass on the baton soon. With Jay's exit, the alternative is his elder brother Ness. Apart from being the chairman of National Peroxide, he is most well known as the owner of an IPL cricket team. In 2019, he was in the news after being caught in possession of contraband substances.
The Financial Times has reported that Indian businessman Ness Wadia has been handed a 2-year suspended jail term for drug possession.
So, you know, between the two brothers, Ness and Jay, Jay Wadia was more hands-on. He was interested, passionate about the businesses that he used to run. And Ness seemed to be more, I would say, a happy-go-lucky sort of a person. We could see him at the auctions for cricketers. So this is something that he was known to do. But in the corporate boardroom, unlike his father, Nusli, or Jay Wadia, he preferred to be more hands-on in activities which had little to do with business in that sense. So there is certainly an issue on succession.
To be sure, the issue of family disagreements and succession isn't limited to the Wadias alone. Dr. Meeta Dixit, an expert consultant on Indian business families, tells us.
When there are two generations coming and working together, there are bound to be frictions. There are bound to be clashes. We have seen it in Kirloskar families or Munjal families. The base or the core of the challenges or the conflict would be aspirations would differ and communication may not be complete as it should be.
Maybe the answer for the Wadias lies in going the way of Britannia?
Many families say, or the promoters rather, say Mr. Harsh Mariwala or Mr. Azim Premji, their younger generation, their successors are not taking up or going to take up his position probably because Mr. Harsh Mariwala has completely professionalized his management and his board. Mr. Azim Premji's board is professionalized. Say that has happened with, say, even with Dabur Group, where Burmans are not in any day-to-day management roles. We have seen it in case of Tata Group. They have also gone through succession planning challenges and they have managed to get it through with non-family leaders in the business.
And then, of course, there is always the possibility of a reconciliation.
The family is also seen to be very close when Ness had this episode in Japan. At that time, I believe both Nusli Wadia and Jay Wadia tried their best to free Ness from Japan. That showed that they were very thick in that sense, you know, when during times of difficulty and all that, they would stay together. So this is something we may see how it pans out, whether Jay is now the prodigal son, he would like that story, he would be welcomed back after a point, or maybe his children his son would be got onto the board. We will have to wait and see.
That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening in. This episode was edited and coordinated by Bhavya Dilip Kumar. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Do write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. Thank you and have a wonderful day. All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits are given in the description.